Adam Sandler. In the 90s, his career was about telling jokes. Today, his career has become a joke. We revisited some of his best work in Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore, so it's time for a Friday Night Film Fight. All right, welcome back to the program, everyone. I am your host, Kyle Haas, joined as always by...
Mr. Sam Ulysses Well.
And Darshan Mota.
Sam, you opted to go with your real middle name here instead of the name that you gave yourself during soundcheck. Would you like to tell everyone what that was?
Yeah, last time I went, it's Sam Bumblebee Well. And I don't know why it came out. It just felt appropriate.
Felt natural.
Yeah.
Darshan, anything to add to that?
I don't want to say my nickname that I use.
Yeah, we better not. Anyways, no.
moving along.
How you guys been lately?
Good. I mean, it's summer.
Yeah,
it's hot.
I think it is now. Like before, when you said it was like 4 weeks ago, and like I don't know when the actual start of summer is. Probably like a couple weeks from now.
Nobody knows.
No.
I don't think summer actually begins here. It's just a constant.
Yeah, yeah. It starts at some point in time, but the weather is certainly acting like it is summer right now.
Oh yeah, it's time for margaritas, guacamole,
and sweaty armpits,
sweaty men, sweaty.
It's time for sweaty men. So what you're saying is it's time to watch Top Gun again?
No.
It'll never be time to watch Top Gun again.
But Iron Eagle.
No. Still no.
Really?
So
I thought that was a classic, right?
No.
Not even close.
We got a couple of kind of classics that we're doing today, guys.
Yeah.
I think we found the best Adam Sandler movies to put into this film fight. What do you think?
I think so, too, but if our listeners disagree, we might have to do a round two.
Yeah, I really don't even know what that would be, because like for me, he named his production company, you know, Happy Madison, after these two films, Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore.
Are you sure it's not called Billy Gilmore?
Yeah.
We're certain about that, Sam. We're certain. We
100% sure. 100% sure.
Okay.
So anyways, for those of you, again, that are new to the program, we do our show in three rounds. Our first round, we'll discuss the 1995 movie Billy Madison, which stars Adam Sandler. The next round, round two, will be the 1996 movie Happy Gilmore, also Adam Sandler. In round three, we will compare the two, kind of have them duke it out, and then we'll make our decision as to what we feel is the better movie. So, Sam, if you want to go ahead and lead us in with round one. Oh, wait. Darshan has bell duties today. That was kind of a reaction on my part. I'm used to Sam or myself doing bell duties, but Darshan, you feel you're up to it today?
Well, after Josh being our guest from last time, I took some pointers, and I think I got something for us.
Unbelievable at playing that bell.
Did you review the footage?
I studied
his technique.
I studied his technique. I practiced in front of the mirror. It was awkward. I practiced at work. People fired me.
That's appropriate.
Yeah, that would be really annoying if you didn't stop doing that.
My work has a no bell ringing policy. So, I mean, I understand.
Yeah, it's kind of a silent workplace.
Well, on that note, let me lead into it. Round one, fight.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Look at this champion over here.
Okay.
So, yeah, it was worth getting fired.
You've earned your place on the team, my friend. Okay.
Solitary tier.
So, Billy Madison, 1995. This is one of his... big breakout movie vehicles for Sandler. It stars him, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Bridget Wilson, who was Sonya Blade in Mortal Kombat.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we kind of have a connection here. Also, Bradley Whitford, who I think most people know him from West Wing. And he's done some other movies, too. And also, there's Norm Macdonald, and there's a couple of fun cameos, but I think we're going to mention them.
We'll get into those.
It's directed by Tamara Davis, not Tamara. Tamara.
Do you have a problem with that?
Kind of.
Do you think somebody just must misspelled her name like on her
That's what I wonder. I always wonder if just
fast noting it down and all of a sudden, oh God.
Like, quick, I came up with a name. Tamara.
That actually happened.
Tamara.
Yeah.
Like that's sometimes a problem. Like I know
comes
I read, yeah, I read Freakonomics and there was a whole thing about that.
Misspelled names?
Yep. Yes. Somebody wanted to name their child Tempest after Tempest Bledsoe from The Cosby Show, but misspelled it to Temptress, which is a stripper name.
Yeah.
And
okay, so anyway. Yeah, and so Tamra Davis, whose name may or may not be misspelled, she also did Half Baked.
Classic.
She did.
Yeah.
A few other TV shows I have here. My Name is Earl. She's done a few episodes of that, and Everybody Hates Chris.
She also did the Britney Spears classic, Crossroads.
Yeah, she did, which I want to point out that Leonard Maltin, who is like well-renowned as a film critic, rated that movie higher than my favorite movie of all time, The Usual Suspects. Crossroads, featuring Britney Spears to Leonard Maltin, is a better movie than the Oscar-winning Usual Suspects.
I think it was spot on.
We need an episode where we talk about our least favorite critics.
Yeah, we do.
That'd be fine. Okay, and it's written by Tim Herlihy.
He's written
most of these Adam Sandler vehicles, and also it's co-written by Adam Sandler. He has a writing credit as well.
Okay,
so if you haven't seen it, it's about Adam Sandler as a young alcoholic delinquent. That's not what the synopsis says. That's what I'm saying because it's more accurate.
Yeah.
And he's going to inherit his father's hotel company, but he's never graduated from high school, so he has to go back and go all the way grades 1 through 12 in order to prove that he's worth it to his father.
Yep.
Everyone's seen this. Why am I doing this?
It's been 18 years, and pretty much anyone that I know, I mean, in our generation, has grown up with both of these movies. So that's kind of where this came from, fighting these two movies, is everyone, you know, is either on one side or the other between Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore.
Definitely. So for all our listeners, spoiler alerts are going to be given here. So if you're listening.
Yeah, I don't, again, I mean, what's the timetable that we need to be following for spoilers?
No. 18 years is, we're definitely okay.
Yeah, we're definitely okay with that.
This movie, if it were a person, is now legal.
I would say statute of limitations. I like that. That means we can fuck it. but I think our statute of limitations for spoilers is like,
oh my God,
2 years. I think I just killed Kyle with that.
That was the funniest thing I've heard you say on this. Wow. Okay, so let's get into it.
Spoiler alert, I used the F word about 20 seconds ago.
All right, so yeah, Sam pretty much nailed it. I mean, this movie kind of starts off with, you see Adam Sandler hanging out with his two buddies, one of which is played by Norm MacDonald, which is kind of funny. I love Norm MacDonald.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Norm MacDonald, too.
He still had the best appearance on any roast I've ever seen in my life when he roasted Bob Saget.
Oh, totally.
Using jokes that would have been used on Full House. Amazing. So, starts off, he's kind of drunken, passed out. It's Nudie Magazine Day for him. And he encounters kind of a pesky penguin that keeps, you know, coming back to him.
It's a hallucination.
Yes.
A hallucination.
Yeah.
He's been apparently spending too much time in the sun. And even his gardener's like, no, there's no penguin. You just had too much sun. But I just want to comment on his choice of nudie magazines as well.
Yes.
That was actually pretty funny.
That actually was.
She-Male Fiesta.
Yep. Yeah. And then
over 80.
Did you see the caption on the She-Male Fiesta magazine? It says, I pee sitting down or do I? Oh, man. Toilet humor.
But I think he goes for, what is it, drunk
chicks.
Junk tricks.
Yeah, yeah, he likes drunk chicks. The other woman is like some really old lady.
Yeah, over 80s, yeah.
So yeah, we find him there, and his dad, unbeknownst to him, is getting ready to retire as a mogul of like some sort of hotel chain.
I kind of immediately thought of it as comparable to like the Hilton chain.
Yeah, you were mentioning
Sheraton
that.
Or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had this idea when I was watching this movie that there could be a modern version of it, but they could just make it totally real. Mm-hmm. Starring Paris Hilton as the Adam Sandler role, and it's about her father who's retiring and giving up the Hilton hotels, and she has to go through school again and prove that she's worth it.
The sad thing is she probably would have had to have repeated the same exact grades that Billy Madison did.
Yep. Yeah. And it'd probably be classified as a documentary at this point.
Yeah, I'd want them to do it for real.
Yeah. No, that'd be interesting.
But you know, just this movie, I feel like this was a little bit before hating these young heirs to fortunes was so common.
I don't know. I mean, were we just too young to understand the hatred towards those?
I think so.
I think that's probably more accurate.
But part of it is there's more fame associated with it now. I think because
and there's
of Paris
reality
Hilton.
TV now.
So they get all this coverage.
Yeah, no, totally.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, TMZ pretty much just idolizes them. Magazines just go, hey, by the way, you know, obviously Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie have those shows. So that's the issue. People just realize that, and they're in the spotlight, and people hate them. People realize that they're just really plastic.
I would love to see TMZ's coverage on Billy Madison if it were back in the day. I feel like if it was done nowadays, there would be like TMZ stuff about him now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Totally. So he goes back to school, and he starts in the first grade, right? He has this kindergarten teacher that is a whack job. Like,
totally.
I love it. I mean, she's like painting her face with paint at one point.
No,
in
no,
time.
It's not even paint. It's glue.
It's glue. That's right. It's glue.
It's paste.
She's just putting paste on her face.
Yeah. Well, apparently, supposedly, some people say that it works quite well. I'm not even sure about that. So, listeners, let us know.
Where it works well doing what?
It's exfoliating? I don't know. But removing blackheads, maybe? I got nothing.
Oh, I can see that. I got nothing. Clean out your pores?
You guys, is this our dermatology podcast again?
Wait, are we mixing our schedule
up
again?
We just got a new sponsorship?
Oh, I think we did. Who are we going with this time to go along with Pantene Pro-V?
Clean and clear.
This is how you can tell.
Clean and clear.
Or Neutrogena.
I don't know any of these because I forget to take care of my face.
I think we can go Neutrogena. Neutrogena is a little classier than Clean and Clear. So Neutrogena, if you're out there, we'll say your name for money.
And we'll invoice you later on.
$10,000 per call out.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, sounds like the right number. Let's do this.
So anyways, he's in this classroom, and he seems to have a bit of trouble understanding some stuff in the first grade at first, which is weird because he's a grown man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's supposed to be charming or maybe just because...
It's not.
I'm a little older, but... I mean, the main issue of the movie is that his dad is going to pass it off to someone who could actually run the business.
Right.
You know, he's like, yeah, he's my employee. He's not my son. And that guy is like, you shouldn't give it to your kid. He's an idiot.
Yeah.
And he's right. He's totally right.
Well, he makes a good point as well. He says, you know, you have 604,000 employees underneath you.
I think 61,000.
Yeah. Which is a ton of employees. And he says, your son's a half-wit.
Is it really, do you really only need a 12th grade education to run a hotel empire?
I mean, that was interesting, apparently. Too. I mean, I would prefer if someone had a business degree.
Yeah, at least.
Had some years experience behind it?
Yeah, some experience. I don't know.
Not so much. 12th grade education, we're good to go.
And 2 weeks as well. He has to do this in 2 weeks, so...
And this is a comedy, so maybe we shouldn't be like super harsh on it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, honestly, it's hard for me to think he should be running the company. Because all they show you of him is that he is very, very
slow
and stupid
and
kind of
does this voice, which Adam Sandler has resurrected so many times in his career. And it's like fingernails on a chalkboard.
Mm-hmm. I think there's an easy rule for whether his movies are good or not. Does he use his stupid, annoying voice?
If he does, it's an instant...
That's true. It's probably not a good movie. Like Waterboy, he uses that voice exclusively.
The whole time.
Yeah. And that movie's terrible.
Yeah. I'll forgive him this once because it's his first movie, so maybe he learned his lesson. I want to say at his time
no,
that
he
learned his
lesson. No, he
didn't
learn his lesson. Exactly. He kept using that lesson.
And he still does.
Yeah, he really does. Can we talk about Adam Sandler a little bit in his career nowadays and like what he's been up to with like Jack and Jill? Can we just talk about Jack and Jill for a minute?
Yeah. We can do it.
You get this off your chest.
Yeah.
Pal.
Yeah.
I am a big fan of the Razzie Awards, which are given out kind of like the Oscars, except in reverse. They're given out to the worst acting performances, worst, you know, direction, worst movie type of things. Adam Sandler has the distinction now of being the only person in history to win both worst actor and worst actress at the same time for Jack and Jill. Like, what is he doing nowadays?
He's collecting paychecks. That's exactly what he's doing.
That's the biggest problem is he's getting critical failure, but his movies are still selling okay.
Who's watching these? I don't know anyone who saw Jack and Jill, but I know it made decent enough money to where he'll probably do another one or something like it.
Grown Ups 2 is coming out. Oh, the first Grown Ups, the reviews are horrible. I don't know a single person.
You know what I think is part of the problem, though? It has Kevin James in it.
Who is?
Awful.
Yeah.
Awful. Like, again, hate to bring up PBMC, Paul Blart Mall Cop. One of the worst movies I've ever seen.
See, I have a theory on why Adam Sandler movies still sell.
Okay.
Basically, the parents that are going to take their children to go see these movies now.
Who are a little older than us?
We're only slightly older than
us. Yeah.
But they grew up at a time where Adam Sandler was the comedian of the 90s.
Sure, SNL and all that.
Exactly. And what do they have to compare it to when other comedies are coming out? Not much. I mean, they have the animated flicks, which are always amazing. But then the sort of adult grown-up flicks. All right, you have Jack and Jill. So they take the children to go see these movies because, hey, it's a laugh, and Adam Sandler doesn't really do, you know, R-rated comedies anymore.
Yes, he does.
Does he? Really?
Yeah, man. What has he done? Big Daddy. Well, it's like a hard R featuring a sexual relationship between a teacher and his kid.
But not anymore, though, right? What? Recently. Recent comedies that he's come out with.
That was like a year ago.
Big Daddy was a year ago?
Oh, no, I said the wrong name.
Yeah, exactly.
I said the wrong name.
Big Daddy definitely not.
That's my boy.
A year ago.
That's my boy.
Yeah.
I was trying to say that's my boy.
Also horrible, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's my boy. Sorry.
What was that movie that he came out with Seth Rogen not too long ago?
Oh, the super depressing one?
Yes.
Oh, Funny People.
Funny People. Super depressing. I mean, he was better in that, but like depressing
marginally
movie.
So. It wasn't really a comedy, though.
But I mean, his acting resume now is just littered with garbage. Like Little Nicky.
Yeah.
Forget that?
The point of this is that he started out doing okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's just really gone downhill. And it's worth mentioning.
It totally is. I mean, we picked these two movies for a reason because I don't think I would be able to subject myself to any other Adam Sandler movies. Like, I don't find him funny anymore at all.
I try and avoid his movies on a basic principle.
Well, his comedy at the time was a little different because it's so obnoxious and it's nonsensical and it's brazen and crude. And when you're a little bit older, like we are, and people who are older than us are going to think that we sound stupid when we say that. But since we saw this as kids and we've seen it now, his comedy just does not work because there's no levels to it. It's a single level. I'm loud. I yell at someone.
Yeah.
That's the joke.
Yeah, you know? And that's not... It takes more to make me laugh now. Maybe it didn't when I was 9 when this movie came out. But yeah, it definitely does now.
Yeah, I mean, even his characters themselves, they just take them at their face value. I think that's the character.
I think what we're really trying to say is it doesn't hold up as well now.
Doesn't hold up.
No.
This movie in particular, Billy Madison, talking about.
I don't want to... There are a couple of positive things, though.
Oh,
There were some things we liked.
So
yeah, we're not complete haters.
Why don't we go back to the movie at this
point? Yeah. Absolutely. So... The movie really picks up when he gets into third grade and meets his teacher, Veronica Vaughn.
Sonya Blade.
Played by Sonya Blade. We're not using her real name here.
Sonya Blade. Sonya Blade teaches Adam Sandler.
She does. And interesting note here, most love interests in Adam Sandler films have a double V name. Veronica Vaughn in this movie, and in Happy Gilmore, it's Virginia Vennett. So
interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of weird that he does that, but that is constant throughout his whole film career. Anyways, so he meets this teacher and decides, wow, she's hot. I want to get after that. The best way I could impress her is by passing the third grade.
Apparently. And also preparing to pee on himself as well.
Yeah. Oh, that part is actually kind of funny.
That part was sweet.
It was sweet, and it had a great line. Said by an old woman, if peeing your pants is cool, consider me Miles Davis.
Okay, so...
I love that line.
I had to tell you, I want to know your interpretation of that.
Sure.
Because I used to interpret that as, if peeing your pants is cool, I'm Miles Davis. As in, I'm not Miles Davis, so peeing your pants is not cool.
No.
But it could be interpreted as...
Miles Davis was looked at as like the king of cool back in the day.
Okay, so that's how you took it.
Yeah, if peeing your pants is cool, then I am the coolest because I piss myself all the time.
I just took it that, you know, she's lost her bladder functions. Boom. Okay. At that age, she's fantastic. She's doing it.
Yeah. She's reached her opinion of coolness.
But I really like that because right after that, cut to a scene of a bunch of kids who just piss themselves.
They all piss themselves. By the way, I want to say, I don't think it's that weird that Veronica Vaughn, Sonya Blade, falls for him.
I think
I don't want to.
Don't want to get like sexist because the character's not super developed.
She is a school teacher.
It very much so could be like, well, I'm a school teacher and he's an heir to a multi-million dollar, possibly billion dollar company and he's into me.
Well, I see.
Gonna milk it.
I saw this a bit differently because we had that scene before where Adam Sandler tells one of his classmates to call the teacher up and ask whether she has, you know, a boyfriend or anything. And she continues to stay on the phone with him.
That was ridiculous.
That was weird.
That was very weird. And then she's attracted to Adam Sandler, who has the mentality of a third grader. And I just thought, wow, is this one of those awkward moments where a teacher wants to plow one of their students and now has a legal opportunity to do so?
By the way, that happens. And yes. That's my boy. So Adam Sandler was molested by a teacher.
Sonya Blade.
Breaking news.
I'm reading into this.
Yeah, no, totally.
Too much.
Okay. There's some other stuff we really liked about the movie, particularly some cameos. Darshan, there's one that you wanted to mention.
You see, throughout this movie itself, I saw Adam Sandler. He didn't really make me laugh. But we had Chris Farley, who obviously was a bus driver, and his role in it was absolutely brilliant. The anger that he felt when the kids threw that sandwich at him, oh my God, I was tears in my eyes laughing.
He was Chris Farley at his best from like the SNL days, and it was so cool like to watch him again. So it made me miss him a lot.
Yeah, really, me too.
Honestly, I was kind of sad like when it kind of finished. I was like, oh, that was a Chris Farley film.
I'll tell you who ate those lunches. It was that damn Sasquatch.
I like that lady.
And then he's just eating like 30 lunches with Norm MacDonald.
And he's laughing maniacally.
I'm sure that they were stoned at the time.
There was a stoning?
I would say that there was a...
Off camera.
You're inferring
Inferring a stoning.
Inferring a stoning.
Okay.
But I agree. Chris Farley is great. He's so much intensity, and he's just... I think he's always going to be my favorite fat comic.
Dude, he's also my favorite SNL cast member of all time. Like, you look back in those days, and it still holds up so well. His physical comedy, like that Chippendales routine with Patrick Swayze, is just amazing.
But another cameo.
Oh, yeah. Steve Buscemi's cameo in it as kind of like, he's playing like a guy who you could picture killing a president, basically. And Adam Sandler has to call him and apologize, which is kind of the plot of My Name is Earl, which I kind of found weird, which this director went on later to direct. But he calls him up because he's like repenting for all the crappy things he's done in his life. And says, you know, I'm sorry for poking fun of you as a kid. He crosses him off of a list of people he needs to kill and then puts lipstick on and then just lays back down onto his couch.
Yep, just smiles and lays back.
It was amazing.
Not that many actors could pull it off.
No.
Steve Buscemi does.
Oh, man. I love him.
What made it really awkward is that I've been watching Boardwalk Empire recently. And so all I saw was Nookie putting on lipstick.
Yeah.
So that made the scene even more hilarious for me.
Yeah. So Adam Sandler goes along and everything's looking just fine and all hunky-dory for him. And he's having these weird parties like with all of his classmates over.
Every time that he graduates.
Every 2 weeks that he graduates until his rival in the movie. I forget. Do you guys remember his name in the film or the actor's
name?
Bradley
Whitford.
There we go. So until he kind of throws a monkey wrench in there and has the principal come out and say he's been paying me off this entire time.
Yeah, he blackmails him.
Yeah,
he
totally blackmails him, and the principal is apparently a wrestler. But talking about throwing a monkey wrench, he does a Russell Crowe in this and throws a phone.
Does he?
Yeah, he throws a phone and knocks and puts his secretary in the
car.
He does! That was just some of those like obnoxious humor.
I still think
there's also a really bizarre dance song and dance number.
Yeah,
yeah, you guys remember that at the pool party after Veronica Vaughn convinces him not to give up after the blackmailing thing.
Okay,
they're There's a musical number. I feel like
am I high
right now? What's going on?
Dude, I totally know the one you're talking about.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
Jesus.
Now,
you guys were looking at me like I was making this up, and then all of a sudden I feel like I was going crazy.
I was thinking at the end when like everyone was pairing up.
Oh, no. That was good, too.
That was awesome.
I was thinking about the pool sort of wrestling scene. I was like, I don't think that was...
It was right after that, after she beat the shit out of
him. You know what scene I really liked, though, is when one of Adam Sandler's deadbeat friends is just hosing down a kid.
Oh, God, yes.
And the kid's like, no, stop. I don't even know you.
The way it's shot, though, when you first see the guy, you just see him spraying the hose. It looks like he's just maybe watering a plant.
Yeah.
And then the reveal is excellent.
It's fantastic. Like, that genuinely made me laugh really hard.
I want to say one thing. This is a random thought about this movie, but I wrote this down.
Go ahead.
I just noticed it.
Uh-huh.
This movie, Veronica Vaughn is not objectified at all. She has all of her clothes on the whole movie.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. She's never in a bikini. You never, you know, there's no topless, no bra and panties, nothing like
there's
that.
There's that striptease scene where he's studying, but
she never takes anything off. Pants and shirt on, which is something I think is kind of good. And I found it kind of surprising since the rest of the movie is a little bit misogynistic. But on that one point, there's no scantily clad women, which seems like it would be there in a movie that's kind of classless like this.
Yeah.
But they did objectify Chris Farley, though.
He took his shirt off. And he was
totally did.
Yeah, he did.
And he was horny at the time.
Yeah, I had to. That was a good scene. I like that scene.
That was a great scene.
Did you pause it?
There was some timing in this movie. We were just talking about the scene where, you know, you didn't get the reveal of what the guy was hosing off. And I thought that the timing on that scene was great. I also like the timing. Billy's father, this is towards the beginning of the movie, he's trying to figure out, you know, who he's going to pass the company off to. And he goes, well, Billy boy, I sure hope you find what you're looking for out there. Cut to Billy Madison going, oh, here's a good piece of shit.
Yeah.
Like, pretty funny. Like, it's still a shit joke, but, like, kind of funny timing.
When you do it well.
Yeah. Yeah, no, totally.
A good poop joke always goes far with this.
Yeah, so, I mean, it might not have held up entirely, but there's some stuff that was timeless and well and very well done.
The speech at the end is pretty fantastic. You know, after he's talking about his lost dog book and the Industrial Revolution. You know, nowhere through that incoherent babbling was there anything close to a rational thought. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Didn't he also refer to that the rest of the people in this
yeah,
industry
we're
have gone dumber,
dumber for having listened to it.
By the way, I love that principle, honestly.
Really funny.
He hated his wife. His wife has been cheating on him. So every other, box on the Jeopardy thing was, my wife's a dirty hooker.
Yeah. Half of them are like, my wife, the tramp. Then like English literature. Then my wife's been sleeping around.
I also liked flaming bags of poo and the human response.
And
Adam Sandler's like crossing his fingers.
That's what's funny is some of the subtle stuff was the best stuff.
Yes, absolutely. I think the movie needed to be more subtle. But again, when we're talking about Adam Sandler, it's anything but subtle.
Yeah, it goes over the top in your
face. Like, he is going to smack his Adam Sandlerness in your face. So, with that, I think we can go ahead and move on
to round two. Fight.
Oh, man. You almost forgot that second one.
No, I was preparing
for
it. Really? I was preparing for it.
I saw it. You looked a little, like, apprehensive.
It was all wind up.
It was wind up. You were going to hear the Street Fighter. But I didn't want to do that. It would just destroy the bell.
So, Darshan, do you want to lead us into our second movie, which is Happy Gilmore today?
Yeah. Happy Gilmore is about the story of a rejected hockey player who has an excellent slapstick shot, because his dad taught him that.
Slapshot.
Yeah.
Slapshot. I'm sorry.
I'm going to be that dick.
No, you do it.
It's fine. Honestly.
So I'm into hockey, guys.
We want to be informed.
I got a hockey boner going right now because of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
I know. The table
It's awkward. I know. I'm sorry.
The table is a bit wonky because of
my apologies.
But he, unfortunately, due to his grandmother not paying any IRS tax for the last 10 years, apparently, the house gets possessed. So,
Possessed or repossessed?
Repossessed.
Did you, again, is this another version of Darshan watches a different movie than everyone else does?
I wish it was Possessed Haunted House because she didn't pay her IRS taxes.
That could be the beginning of Poltergeist.
Yeah, really could. So for all you listeners out there, pay your taxes or your house will become infested with ghosts.
The ghost of an IRS agent.
Exactly. He would just be, you'll just be an auditor. So I can see you're spending the money on that.
It'll be me.
He's like, receipts.
Receipts.
Documentation.
Miscellaneous expenses. 1099.
Oh my God. Really? Anyways, Darshan.
That would be so horrible.
Oh my God.
I'd probably have to hang
Frightening.
Up. How did the body was found? He was found hung himself. Why? He's written down receipts everywhere. Covered in receipts. Okay, going back to
what yeah, sorry.
All right, right. Serious face. This is my serious face. So, because her house is being repossessed, Happy Gilmore is, you know, patching out. Well, the movers are moving all the furniture out of his house.
He needs to make money.
Exactly.
He does.
And so he shoots a slap stick. He makes a bet. Boom! He starts hustling people, saying that they
slap
can
shot.
Slap shot. Slap shot.
He hits a golf shot.
He gives. I'm gonna say a golf shot from now on because I'm not a big sports fan. So he hits a golf shot.
I love it when they hit the home run that results in a touchdown, right, Darshan?
Oh, dude, totally. I love when they do that. And then they go for the 3-pointer at the end.
Yep. All the better.
Kyle, wait, do you play golf?
I do.
Drive. He drives.
Yeah, he drives a ball.
He
he's got a wicked drive. And I'll say wicked because this movie takes place back in, like, Massachusetts.
Wicked. So wicked is?
He's got a wicked hot slap shot.
Hella wicked.
Boy, he goes beyond
not
400.
Not in San Francisco, Sam. Not in San Francisco.
So his yard hits about 400 yards. So then he starts enrolling into golf tournaments, and he starts winning them. And we have his antagonist, Christopher McDonald, who plays Shooter McGavin.
Oh my God, I love Shooter McGavin.
So he has basically the principle of this movie is that he has to win this tournament and get his house back.
All right, writer, director, actor.
Yeah,
my friend.
Director of this movie is Denis Dugan. Now he's done such movies.
Probably pronounced Dugan.
Dugan? I say Dugan.
Dugan.
He's from Europe. It's okay. Yeah. You can say things.
I can say things like this. I'll get away with
it.
So he's done movies such as Big Daddy, Beverly Hills Ninja, and Kyle, I think you want to introduce this next
movie. Yeah, we mentioned it before. He did Jack and Jill.
So this guy's a class A dude. He knows what he's going to be writing about and directing about.
Also,
Adam Sandler stuff.
Carl Weathers was in this movie.
Actors.
Yep, Carl Weathers was in this movie.
Chubbs Peterson.
Gotta love him. Honestly,
I love
his
Chubbs. It's all in the hips, guys.
All in the hips. That's a synonymous line that anybody uses nowadays.
Yeah.
They know.
There's
it's
a lot of lines that are still
just
quoted nowadays.
Just tap-a-roo. If you're at a miniature golf place.
Yep. Oh, it's going to happen.
You're going to hear some of this.
Yeah.
Also, you're going to die, clown, probably at some point.
You're
going to die, clown! Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Thanks, man. That was my Adam Sandler impression.
Were you practicing that?
No, not like my Jean-Claude Van Damme impression last week.
Could you give me one Jean-Claude Van Damme as he would say, die, clown?
Too hard.
You're going to die, clown. That's getting
hard,
bad
man.
Again, man. I'm
you
not.
Can't do it. Can't do it. So we have Adam Sandler. We have Kristen McDonald. We also have Julie Bowen.
Yep.
Now she's in Modern Family.
Oh,
so.
Man. I did not make that connection when I saw Julie Bowen on Modern Family, but she looks fantastic.
Yeah, she has aged like a fine wine.
Yeah,
that's
fantastic. She's 43 now.
She's 43 now,
yeah. She looks good.
Yeah,
in this movie.
She looks really good at 22 or 23, whatever it
is. I think she was 26 when she did this movie. That, yeah, fantastic. Thumbs up like you're giving right there.
She's also on the show Ed for a long time, but I'm the only person who's ever seen that show.
Yeah,
like
you are.
Yep.
No one has seen that.
No, that's
show.
All you.
What I've learned from Darshan's synopsis here is I want to hear Darshan call a hockey game sometime.
No, you don't, because they'll be rioting in the streets.
That was awesome.
No, well, I'll be the first one to admit it was terrible.
Well done. Well done. I made a note right off the bat here, guys. You know what's nice about Happy Gilmore? No goofy voice.
Yes.
No goofy voice.
At all.
Mm-mm.
Good job, Adam Sandler.
Yeah, I like this movie a lot better because of it.
Very minimal, at the very least. There's like, you can kind of say when he's angry, he kind of, but it's not the same. I'm going to concede.
It's not the same.
Not the same.
He doesn't do the stupid voice that I hate.
Yeah, so we go back to the moving guys, one of which was played by Will Sasso from Mad TV.
Yeah.
Again, I may have been one of the only people who remembers Mad TV or ever having watched it, kind of like your Ed. But yeah, Will Sasso was on there, and Yeah, he hits the shit out of the ball. Like, 400 yards is an absurd drive. Hitting people in a house 400 yards away was pretty funny.
I feel sorry for that couple living in that
house. Oh, man. Tortured.
They got destroyed.
They did.
Yeah. Especially the wife who was upstairs. She just, like, opens up the... She's like, oh, clearly somebody's hit a golf ball through my window. Opens it up. Boom, another one hits her. And she falls from the story.
I liked the relationships a lot in this movie. Mm-hmm. I liked the relationship between... Adam Sandler and Carl Weathers. I thought it was really funny at times. I thought they had really good chemistry. There was a scene in particular where he had just met Chubbs Peterson, and Chubbs Peterson goes, "They wouldn't let me play on the tour no more." And Happy Gilmore goes, "Why? Because you're black?" And Carl Weathers goes, "Hell no. Damn alligator bit my hand off." Fantastic. Fantastic. That was great.
I even like the scenes between Ben Stiller and...
Ben Stiller. He's uncredited. He's there, though.
Yeah. He's fantastic in it.
The scene between Ben Stiller and, like...
Psycho Orderly.
Exactly. I loved it because he's trying to sell the blankets off to a different sort of business, I believe.
Yeah.
Arts and crafts.
Super funny.
Sweatshop.
Yeah, it's been increased by 4 hours.
My back hurts. Oh, your back hurts? Well, now your fingers are going to hurt. No,
the other way around. You did a Sam.
You did a Sam.
Oh, welcome to my own personal hell.
You want to try that one?
No.
All right, I'll try it again. My fingers hurt.
Well, I got nothing. Seriously, that's all you.
Well, now your back's going to hurt because you just pulled landscaping. That was so much effort right there.
Yeah.
What I feel is going to be very little payoff.
The point is, there's a lot of very quotable lines in the movie.
Yes.
I think anyone who's seen it, you'll remember this stuff. There's like...
We also have, "Hey, mister, help me.
Get this thing off of me."
He fights Bob Barker, and there's a great line of, "The price is wrong, bitch."
Oh, my God.
There's lots of stuff that you will hear or have heard or will hear from this movie.
Yes, absolutely.
Same thing with Billy Madison, but maybe to a lesser extent.
Yes. They're very quotable movies. Also, the cameos that they have in these films are awesome. Mm-hmm. There's a golfer, real-life professional golfer, Lee Trevino, who is in it. He's the one that's just shaking his head randomly at Adam Sandler.
He does have a great line.
He says... Grizzly Adams did have a beard.
That's true.
That's his only line in the movie.
Only line.
Darshan, what did you think about Alan Covert, who plays the caddy in this movie, his beard?
Loved his beard. I drank a bottle of whiskey for it.
There we go.
It was good.
By the way, a new rule, if someone mentions a beard, you drink.
Yep.
So Grizzly Adams does have a beard, you drink on that.
Even if you're in your car.
Doesn't matter. You follow the rules.
our rules supersede law. Here? Yeah.
You keep a flask on you.
Yeah.
We have flasks. That's it.
No, I agree. I also really liked, personally, that Happy Gilmore was a Boston Bruins fan. I'm a big Boston Bruins fan, and I really liked that he was wearing a Boston Bruins jersey and sweatpants on the golf course most of the time.
How much did you guys love the intro? To the very start of the movie, where it's like the old kind of home
so
movie
cool.
style.
So cool.
You see, I always thought of it as like the Wonder Years sort of intro, where it's just
it,
that
it
had
is
that
like
sort of,
that.
It was so perfect.
It's exactly
Loved
what
it
was like.
I still love that intro to that movie. Mm-hmm. And you get to know the character a little bit right away. He loves hockey. His dad died. His mom left. His dad died. He has to live with his grandma. He has some rage issues. Bam, you're ready to go.
Yep.
That's all I need to know.
Did you also like that the song that's playing at the beginning of the movie is the song that closes the movie out?
Yeah, I noticed that.
Super cool.
I noticed that for sure.
Other things, I think we should talk about Christopher McDonald's performance in this.
Oh, my God.
Shooter McGavin.
Iconic.
Interestingly enough, Shooter McGavin, or Christopher McDonald, you know, his real name, he actually goes out to celebrity golf tournaments and plays the part of Shooter McGavin. My dad met him at a celebrity golf tournament one time, and he was totally, like, in shooter mode. Like, every putt he made, he was doing the little guns and saying shooter, and he was signing things Shooter McGavin.
Fantastic. Honestly,
that's so
trooper.
Cool. I like when life imitates art.
Yeah, super, super cool.
I just called
Happy
Gilmore art.
Oh, no. It's okay. It's okay.
It hurts. No, I'm dying.
It's okay, dude.
It's fine. It's Well, was that the Michael Jackson scream?
No. I'll save that for later.
You've had a rough podcast, Sam. You've called Happy Gilmore art and said that you'd wanted to fuck a movie.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's hot. It,
yeah, you've been out in the sun too long.
Dude, this studio gets hotter as we go along, so we kind of get loopier. I really think so. Yeah. Like we're all starting to sweat like that room in room? Apocalypse Now, where they're all just super sweaty in the beginning. Dripping. Like that's kind of where we're getting now.
Yeah.
Pretty soon we're going to punch mirrors and do naked drunk kung fu.
I've already started.
Yeah, I was going to say you haven't yet. So, yeah, I love Shooter McGavin. I think he was a fantastic bad guy.
Oh, the antagonist of the rule?
He's great.
I mean, he's the stereotypical, hey, I'm a D-bag. Enjoy me.
He's a total douche, and he's also not very quick-witted, which is really funny.
Well, the line is, I eat little shits like you for breakfast.
You eat pieces of shit for breakfast?
No.
But and the way he delivers, it's fantastic.
He's great, though, because he plays off the media super well, and he's totally. Always, you know, he's got his persona, he's smiling.
Tells the same jokes wherever he goes.
He's got his rehearsed jokes, really, you know.
Yeah, I mean, he's
more accurate like that for someone to play off that they're nice and cool, but they're really a jerk.
Well, the thing that he does even behind cameras was that he buys his grandmother's house. He basically, Happy Gilmore's mother's house, grandmother's house, is actually being put on auction. He outbids Happy Gilmore because
of the tax poltergeist, right?
Because it's possessed. It's possessed. Yeah. The ghosts were definitely there.
pretty dick move, though.
No, it's super dick move, man. Yeah, like, he says he's going to turn his room into a trophy room.
Yeah.
I like that line.
Yeah. That's right before the pieces of shit line, which is pretty funny.
I mean, what could have been meaner than the trophy room?
Yeah.
I was going to say maybe bathroom.
Well, I mean, he actually does go meaner and said, you know what? If you lay a hand on me, I'm going to burn this house down and piss on the ashes.
He does.
That's a good part.
So it's just like, wow, he's actually gone meaner.
I want to talk real quick, iGolf, and I want to talk about this movie's interpretation of the rules of golf, which include, like, hit the ball no matter what happens. Like, that is not a rule of golf. You don't have to hit it off of someone in the gallery's foot. And you certainly don't have to putt if a TV tower falls on the green. I mean, I understand it for the context of this movie, but, like, that was just a little bit ridiculous to me. He's also the golf commissioner. Doug is possibly like one of the worst golf commissioners ever. Here's some of the things that he lets fly. Letting bikers have sex in the woods. That's mentioned.
The free country, man.
Yeah. TV tower on the green. You know, cussing like no other on live television. And physical altercations with fans and Bob Barker. This guy's a great golf commissioner.
But the ratings are higher than they've ever been.
They are. They are. You know what else would draw a crowd? A golfer with an arm growing out of his ass.
I thought that was weird that he said that.
It was weird. But, I mean, just to kind of prove the point, there are so many quotable lines in this movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fantastic.
Well, did the comedy hold up better for you guys than Happy Gilmore?
Yeah, and actually, that's a good transition.
That's a round three
question. I think we can go now. Before we go, though, I do want to mention that I did like, as well, the Kevin Nealon cameo.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Who kind of plays, like, what we can assume is, like, a stoner, like, golfer.
Oh, totally.
Character.
And he was just like, you know, block out the negative.
I didn't think
him
as a stoner. I took him as, like, new age spirituality.
Okay, okay, yeah, okay.
Well, I mean, they had a reversal of like lines as well, because obviously when Adam Sandler loses his stuff, he says, oh, that guy's a lunatic.
Yeah.
And he's just psycho.
Yeah,
psycho.
He's a psycho. When before, you know, Adam Sandler calls him a psycho.
Right,
so,
right.
I like that sort of scene. That was some good scenes.
Definitely. So, Darshan, you want to lead us into round three?
Final round. Fight.
You might be the new bell duty guy.
That's
man.
Pretty good.
You're doing great.
I was practicing.
So, yeah, Sam, back to your question.
So these movies, this is 95 and 96.
Yep.
Which movie held up better for you guys?
Happy Gilmore held up a lot better for me. Billy Madison, and I think a lot of it has to do with that annoying voice.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't hold up for me very well at all. But Happy Gilmore, like, I watched it and I still got, you know, not as much amusement out of it as I did, you know, when I first saw it when I was like, I don't know, 12 or 13. But like, it held up okay.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as you. He didn't use that voice at all. And you know what? I was able to relate to the character because, you know, he dealt with realistic problems the way any normal person would. Like, all right, talked it out. He talked decently. He had his anger issues. But yeah, you know, he was a decent human being.
That's a good point that you bring up. He is more relatable in Happy Gilmore. And even though these are comedies, that's an important thing in movies in general. You need to be able to relate a little bit to the person that you're watching on screen. And I think he was much more relatable in Happy Gilmore.
Which leads me into my next question that I have for you guys.
Sure.
We have, obviously, Adam Sandler, he obviously challenges his antagonist to a bet, as he does in both movies. He challenges in Billy Madison.
That's true.
He challenges the vice president to, all right, you know, we'll have an academic decathlon.
Yep.
And then in Happy Gilmore, he challenges him to that tournament.
The tour championship, yep.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, one's a white-collar sort of, you know, bet, Billy Madison and Billy Madison is actually sort of a rich sort of
I may
heiress.
Have lost you.
Sorry. All right.
Nowhere through your incoherent rambling was there anything close to a rational thought.
Okay. We have Billy Madison, who was rich and, you know, he places this bet because he wants to get this company.
In one movie, he's rich, and the other one, he's poor.
Exactly. So
I think that's what we're trying to say here.
Yeah, exactly. And, I'm trying to build that up.
And there we go.
Yeah. And skip to the end. One's rich, one's poor. They place a bet. Who do you think actually had a good like sort of tournament at the end? The fight between the two, well, the protagonist at the end,
I think a better question here would be who played the better antagonist.
Yes.
Yeah.
There we go.
I am glad that we have that last 2 minutes because it was fantastic.
That was my rambling.
Was your rambling of the day.
Once again, I'm dehydrated. There. That's it.
For me, it was Shooter McGavin, hands down. I really enjoyed that character. And it was cool because I disliked his character, but I loved him as the character. So, and that's a great balance to hit as any antagonist.
He's a perfect villain because you love to hate him.
Exactly.
But more than anything, he also just makes sense. He's popular, he's got a following, he's secretly an asshole. It's not outward right away.
Right.
But the guy in Billy Madison, he starts out in his opening scene, he's totally reasonable. Yeah, don't put Billy Madison in charge. He's not smart and shouldn't run this company. But by the end of the movie, he's just a ridiculous like weasel laugh. He pulls a gun?
Yeah, why is he not arrested?
Yeah,
he's back at
the
commencement ceremony.
He was going to kill someone.
I was like, yeah.
And the question that makes him freak out as well is business ethics. What are your viewpoints on it?
Which is ridiculous that he didn't have a thing to say about it.
Yeah, he's been in business.
He's been in business school. Like, this guy would understand, like, business ethics, like, I'm in the business world. I'm in the business world. Like, you can answer that question.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
He's been lying throughout this movie, so why not just lie at the final point? Just make one sentence.
Because they're showing that he's like, losing it. But still, I mean, come on. The guy freaking pulls a gun.
Yeah.
You're a bad guy.
It's a bit ridiculous.
At that point.
So another question that I think I have now for the two of you.
Shooter.
Which movie do you guys think was funnier?
I would have to say I would say Billy Madison just because of Chris Farley.
Okay.
Honestly, I laughed more with that than I did with Happy Gilmore.
Okay.
Because, Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore was funny, but it was a sort of, all right, I chuckle with it. Billy Madison, I actually laughed out loud with Chris Farley on screen.
Okay.
I lulled.
I think I laughed more with Billy Madison, but I was kind of just smiling and having a good time with Happy Gilmore.
Okay.
But I appreciate the humor more in Happy Gilmore because I felt like it was a little bit more restrained.
It was more toned down, dude. Definitely. It totally was.
I couldn't help but feel like when I'm watching Billy Madison, it felt like he got to George Lucas. Do whatever you want. Oh, that's a stupid idea? Just do it. And it felt to me like in Happy Gilmore, he had some stupid ideas and some of them got to poke through, but most of them had to have been cut.
Yeah. Okay.
But, definitely. You know, I don't have any proof. So that's just how it appeared to me.
Another random question here, guys. Who was the hotter love interest? Veronica Vaughn or Virginia Bennett?
I would say Virginia Bennett for me.
I'm gonna agree with that.
I'm going Julie Bowen.
Yeah. All three unanimous Julie
Bowen.
Yeah,
that's the same person. Yeah. I just went by actress.
Not Sonya Blade. Sonya Blade, I mean, she's not bad.
Sonya Blade's a good-looking
lady. She works for Pete Sampras.
I think more than anything, I just really like Julie Bowen's character.
Definitely.
Just, I don't know, just felt real.
Did she kind of remind you
I feel like there was actual chemistry between her and Adam Sandler, too.
I thought that role was played by the same girl who's in, like, Mallrats and, like, Dogma. Because they kind of look similar.
Yeah.
That's who I thought it was growing up. But, like, nope, Julie Bowen on Modern Family now. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I mean, we had, obviously, the beginning scene with Sonya Blade and Adam Sandler. She's pretty much a dick towards Adam Sandler.
Well, he is an adult in the third grade.
Yeah,
He makes fun of a fat kid trying to read. I would be pretty mad, too, to be honest.
Today, Junior?
Yeah. I mean, if I was a teacher, I would have just pulled him out.
He would have been done.
I was just like, you know, what the fuck's the matter with you, dude, man?
But you see, that was like after their first like encounter with one another. Because that happened, well, when they first meet, it's at the front of the school. And she's like, oh, you must be that rich kid, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, well, no one likes rich kids. So, I mean, I don't blame her.
Do we have anything else that we think we should compare right now? Or are we ready to make our decision?
Just one last thing for me then. Just concept-wise, I just want to say, I like kind of what Darshan was talking about. I like the concept a lot more of Happy Gilmore, where he's poor and he's raising money to help save his grandma's house.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that is his overall mission. And it's like, oh, you're a good person. Good for you. You're not doing this for yourself. It's for your grandma. And at Billy Madison, it's, oh, you're an asshole, alcoholic.
He's not a great
loser,
person.
Terrible person.
Right.
What do you want? You just don't want that guy that you don't like who's way more qualified than you to run the company.
Yeah. Pretty much.
So, how's that hit for you guys?
It's the same. I mean, you summed it up perfectly. I think that the character, Happy Gilmore, you know, again, we're talking about comedies here, but the character is much more relatable, much more toned down and believable.
Yes, exactly.
Than Billy Madison.
Well, I mean, even if he won at the end of Billy Madison, but he gave away his company to, obviously, the other person. But
to someone who was qualified.
Exactly.
Carl.
But could you imagine the repercussions if he actually was in charge? The employees would just be like, oh, my God.
He should make that sequel now.
No. Like, you shouldn't say that, seriously.
I mean, it's in line with...
People could be listening.
You don't mess with Zohan.
Adam Sandler, if you're listening...
Don't do it.
Please don't listen. You don't want you as a fan. I'm sorry.
All right, Darshan. I think it's decision time.
That's right.
Let's do it, folks.
Game over.
Yeah, you explored it.
You explored
the space of the room. I liked it.
I don't know
about game over, though.
I don't know.
A couple minutes.
That's true. That may have been a little premature.
Yeah. Did I just prematurely blow my load?
I think you prematurely shot your wad in what was supposed to be a dry run, yeah. So, as always, I'll go ahead and go first with my decision on this movie, or these movies, I should say. For me, a lot of it came down to which one I thought held up better. I thought that Happy Gilmore is still an enjoyable movie, still works for me as a comedy and as a film in general. For me, Billy Madison still works primarily as a comedy, but it's really a sequence of one-liners and cameos more than it is a coherent story. I think the story is a little too simple and a little too ridiculous. So with that, I think Happy Gilmore is the better movie here. That's all I got. Sam, I'm going to pass it on to you.
I'll give you my answer right away. I say Happy Gilmore because I think it's a more competent film. I think that the arc works. I think that the characters and the relationships are better. And we're talking about comedies.
Yep.
And I think that I might have laughed a little more at Billy Madison, but I just can't help but imagine that 20 years from now, I'm going to see Billy Madison and hate it. And I'm going to see Happy Gilmore and still enjoy it.
Yes.
And, you know, have my laughs throughout. So I think that Happy Gilmore especially is going to age better, too. Happy Gilmore.
Yeah, even I'm going to have to throw my hat with Happy Gilmore on this one, because in Billy Madison, he had that stupid, stupid, stupid voice.
Yeah,
honestly.
Stupid voice.
Oh, God. Every time that he used it, I was just, why am I still watching this? I've already seen it before, and I was about to just close my DVD player. But no, I continued forward with it. Yeah, Chris Farley made me laugh, and, you know, I chuckled quite a lot. But at the end of the day, it was a rich kid who just wanted to do this bet because that was a whim that he had. I mean, he had his life set up for him. I didn't like him from the beginning. I still didn't really like him at the end of it. In Happy Gilmore, we had a character who actually wanted to help out his grandmother. And, you know, he didn't start the fuss in the first place. Shooter McGavin, like, yeah, challenged him down. And yes, that's what started the challenge in the first place. And, you know, things escalated really quickly. But beyond that, there was nothing more. I mean, Happy Gilmore wins, hands down, for me.
There we have it. Unanimous decision again. Happy Gilmore is the better movie between Happy Gilmore and Billy Madison.
Adam Sandler's stupid voice defeated him.
It really did.
Shampoo is better. I'm making movies bad.
You did that.
That was not even that much like his voice.
I think you did.
I prefer to listen to that.
If I actually did it for reals, I would be so annoyed, I'd punch myself in the face.
Yeah.
So I can't do it. I hate it.
And if you get tired, you can just tag me and I'll keep on punching you.
Good.
So I think it's shout out time, guys. For me, my shout out goes to new listener Mike Strickland, a friend of ours. We really appreciate you listening, man. And if you guys want to check out Mike is in a band called Altar of All, which is some good stuff. They're on iTunes. Yeah, man.
Awesome band.
They're on iTunes, too. I mean, some of us grow up and live out our dreams to be a rock star, and some of us, like myself, become auditors. So, Mike, here's to living out your dream.
I like living out the dream.
Sam?
I have no shout-outs this week. Oh, yes, I do.
Liar.
Oh, my God, I love this.
Actually, my dad finally listened, so thanks.
Yeah.
You know.
Mr. Well.
Gotta go for family, you know.
I got nothing on my end, so.
There you go.
Darshan has nobody that he would even like to mention this week.
No one.
We're going to try and get on podcast one.
Oh, yeah.
We're seeking approval for that, so. Mm-hmm.
Another thing I want to mention, we actually this time have planned out a few movies in advance. So next week, the show will be National Treasure versus The Da Vinci Code, which will start our journey into Nicolas Cage films, Darshan. Nicolas Cage films.
Yeah, I need a lot of Xanax and Valium.
Next week's going to get, the week after that's going to get worse for you because we are doing our cage match.
Very special edition cage match.
10th episode, our cage match is coming up. It will pit some of Nicolas Cage's more terrible films, The Wicker Man versus Bangkok Dangerous versus Vampire's Kiss.
Now, you notice he said more terrible films.
Oh, most of his films are terrible.
Exactly.
These are the cream of the crop. Mm. I love Nick Cage and cannot wait to get into this.
Kyle hates me as well. And that's the reason why he wants to get into this as well.
So tune in, guys.
Yep. So again, thanks for listening. Go Happy Gilmore. And we'll see you next week.